Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome to my channel, which focuses on Vedic astrology study from the perspective of your soul path, career and relationships. These are the focus areas of this channel. If you're new to my channel, please consider sharing the content with your fellow astrology enthusiasts, leaving your comments below in case you need to share anything interesting you found in your chart, etc. If you are my listener on the podcast directories like Spotify, Apple, Podcast Addict, Pandora and so on, welcome. Also, you might want to visit my YouTube channel, take screenshots of the chart displayed there so you can study alongside the chart, natal, navamsha, D10 and so on and so forth. Also, for those listening on the podcast directory, you might want to take advantage of the Vedic Astrology Beginners course, which is available in the memberships area as a playlist on my channel. YouTube link is in the description box. You might want to visit that and take advantage of that. That is not being covered on the podcast directory. If you need a personal reading, do get in touch with me on the email, both on the podcast directory as well as on YouTube channel. We can explore what's going on in your life and what you need some assistance or clarity with. You see, the entire purpose, as I see it, of Jyotish and Vedic astrology is to get clarity in your mind about what's going on in different areas of your life, what your soul path is driving you towards in this lifetime, and where you can put yourself, apply yourself to the best possible outcomes, be it in any area of life. We all have different areas of life. Primarily, I focus on soul path, your life path, profession, career, job, business, etc., as well as intimate relationships. And all the podcasts here cover pretty much personality, relationships and career as the determinants of how you want to engage with the rest of the world. We all are born in some way, some form in different societies. The whole idea is to best put yourself at use where you are happy doing what you're doing, you're content doing what you're doing, and you feel your life has a meaning and a purpose somewhere. We are just trying to unlock that using the tools of Vedic astrology. Now that we have finished studying the Amatya Karaka in different Navamsha, the 12 of them, let us do some career case studies for Amatya Karaka, because unless we do some case studies, unless we implement and study the Amatya Karaka from the perspective of charts, actual charts or virtual charts, we won't know how it is applied or what it really means, isn't it? It's like trying to understand physics without applying it in a lab. You have to test this out on charts. So as much charts as you can get your hands on, practice these principles. If you have queries, you can leave it as comments in the comment box. But please take time to understand these principles first. All the series on Amatya Karaka and in Navamsha playlist, uncover all of that first. Study the basic principles and then come to this career case studies. Right, let's get into it. What are the six principles or six aspects I have taken into consideration in career case studies of Amatya Karaka? Number one, we are going to study Amatya Karaka in D1 and D9 charts. Both, that is to say, your natal as well as your Navamsha chart, we shall study how the position of Amatya Karaka goes. Number two, we shall study the relations to the Atma Karaka in both, your soul significator, yourself, Atma Karaka. And podcasts are already covered on Atma Karaka, you might want to go through that. What is your soul relationship with your profession? Is it helping? Is there someone helping in your profession? Atma Karaka and Amatya Karaka relationship in both D1 and D9 also we shall cover. Number three, the placement in houses and signs in both natal as well as Navamsha charts. That will also be covered. Because where the houses are playing in the natal and where it moves to in Navamsha is significant, isn't it? And also the sign, because the qualities of the sign carries to both Atma Karaka and Amatya Karaka. Number four, types, progress, challenges and successes in career, because we are focusing in these career case studies only. So we will deal with focal point as Amadhya Karaka, and we will study Atma Karaka with respect to Amadhya Karaka. All right. Number 5, we will also try to borrow some hints from nakshatra placement of Amadhya Karaka in the natal chart, because that's the physical manifestation. Yes, I already spoke of this. You might want to go through previous ones. Natal chart is your physical manifestation of reality. Navamsha is your internal self and all things going forward in your life. Essentially, when a soul is born, the way we apply Vedic astrology is from birth till the time you're 30 years old, till the time Saturn matures in a chart. What happens is you are acting more like only the physical manifestation, because you are pretty much in the hands of others. After 30 years, really it matures, and then the aspects of Navamsha kick in. So Navamsha literally is going forward in your life, the fortunes of your life. Yeah, this is the way also it is interpreted. So we shall try to borrow some nakshatra placement of Amadhya Karaka in the natal chart also. Now, nakshatras are already covered extensively in the 27 nakshatras of Vedic astrology playlist. Number 6, and very important point, I needed some charts to study here as a part of this exercise. And so what I have done is I have considered case studies. This entire case studies is for Gen Z, just like I did for Nakshatra Pada. Gen Z meaning 1998 onwards, who are born from 1998 onwards. Yes, you can Google it if you want. All case studies are of Gen Z kids. Names are all virtual, really. I have just stuck in virtual names. Names don't mean anything. They are random charts of Gen Z generation, starting from the year 2000 for Amadhya Karaka. Let us begin. Before we begin the actual case studies, it is important for you to remember some rules in the Jaimini system of evaluation in astrology, which is very different to the Parashara system. Jaimini, first of all, focuses on Rashi Drishti, that means the sign aspects. Which sign is aspecting which sign? Aries is aspecting Leo, for example, like that. The sign aspects, these are not planetary aspects, which sign aspects it? So let's go through these 8 rules listed there on the screen. Number 1, Rashi Drishti. Every movable sign aspects all fixed signs except the one right next to it. Keep this rule book in your thing. You can take screenshots if you wish. Every fixed sign aspects all movable signs except the one right next to it. So, movable aspects fixed except the one next to it. Fixed aspects all movable except the one next to it. Every dual sign aspects all other dual signs only. Okay. Then there is the Graha Drishti, that is a planetary vision. The planetary vision says Jaimini primarily uses Rashi Drishti, but planets inherit the aspect of the sign they sit in. So planets sitting in movable sign will aspect all other planets which are in fixed signs except the one next to it. Apply the same principle to all the first three rules. So planets essentially sitting in movable, fixed or dual sign, because Jaimini is based only on sign astrology, not so much on planets. Planets will automatically inherit everything about the sign. This applies to all planets, including Rahu and Ketu. So as we shall see going further into the case studies, you will see that sometimes or many times in a chart, Rahu and Ketu both end up aspecting a particular planet. Because even though Rahu and Ketu are on opposite sides of every chart, but based on this kind of an analysis, based on Rashi Drishti, they both might end up aspecting a planet, and we shall see that in case studies. Some special considerations to see. Point number 6, Jaimini focuses on sign to sign influence, not degrees. Even if planets are far apart within the Rashi, they still aspect through Rashi Drishti. The same thing which I spoke of earlier. The only thing angles or degrees is considered is from Atma Karaka to Dhara Karaka. The 7 Karakas is based on angle. what is your Atmakaraka, what is your Amadhyakaraka, what is your Bhratrikaraka, and so on. That considers the angle, but the sign-to-sign influence is very dominant here. Even if one is sitting in 12th house and one is sitting in 3rd house, for example, if the signs are influencing, the planets in those signs also are influencing one another. See, all this gets very complex unless we do some case studies, isn't it? So we shall do that from now on. 7th point, unlike the Parashari system, Gemini does not use special aspects like Saturn's 3rd or 10th position or Jupiter's 5th or 9th position. Those are Parashara rules. Gemini system does not use these rules of aspecting. It only considers sign aspect and planets therefore placed in those signs. Aspects, last rule, number 8, aspects are applied heavily in Charadasha analysis. If you want to do your predictive analysis, they interpret again based on this sign and interpreting the Karaka planets, Amartya Karaka, Atma Karaka, and so on, all the 7 Karakas of Gemini. So we shall do analysis this way going forward. Let us begin. Let us now do case studies for Sophia. Little chart is on the screen and let us see the Karakas. What are we dealing with here? First, the Atma Karaka is the Sun and Amandya Karaka in her case is Moon. So career will have the signature of the Moon here. So what is Moon as Amartya Karaka mean? Let us recap from our previous sessions. Moon brings empathy, intuition, adaptability, emotional intelligence into the career path. So whatever she does as career, she will bring these qualities of the Moon. Orientation is more towards counseling, psychology, community service, food and beverage industry, real estates, because Moon stands for the 4th house, isn't it? Hospitality, hotel management type of thing, where cooking is also involved somehow, right? Not so much housekeeping, that will be like Venus. Education, public facing work, or healing professions. These are the general orientations of Moon as Amartya Karaka. The attitude of Moon is nurturing, people oriented, sensitive to the needs of the collective, but also prone to a lot of fluctuations in mood and career direction. That's the first thing. You always got to check the planet, which is Amartya Karaka, and check the core professional drive. In this day and age, we have lots of different kinds of careers. The idea of doing these case studies is to give you an understanding of what's the attitude brought to the profession, which is very different. And now let's see the relationship to Sun, the Atma Karaka. Is your soul having a direction towards your career? Relationship between Atma Karaka and Amartya Karaka. As you can see there, Sun in the 3rd house in Capricorn definitely has an aspect directly, the Gemini aspect, on the Moon sitting in the 7th house. Now, where is Moon sitting? In the 7th house, in the direction of facing the public, doing service for the public. And it is conjunct Saturn and Jupiter. So let us do some natal chart analysis here. First of all, the placement, Moon in Taurus in the 7th house. Taurus gives stability, practicality, and a sort of financial focus. Remember, Taurus is a house of resources. And for a Scorpio ascendant, which she is, Taurus comes in the opposite sign of the 7th house. So the focus of career will be directed towards public-facing work and careers. And there is nothing in the 12th house. So everything for her is outwardly directed. She has to work with the masses. 7th house gives careers related to partnership, business partnerships, marketing even, business dealings, yes, diplomacy certainly, and public interaction. Since it is Taurus, it is more of a fixed nature because Taurus is a fixed sign. So in her career path, since we are talking about careers, her career will be more or less fixed in life because remember, natal chart is the physical manifestation of reality. Careers likely involve consulting, negotiation, trade, working with people, one-to-one or public settings. This is the general way her career will be going. regarding the placement of Moon in Taurus in the 7th house, the Madhya Karaka. Conjunction with Jupiter and Saturn, what does that bring? Moon plus Jupiter will give wisdom in teaching, counseling, community guidance, nurturing professions. Adds ethics and expansion to career. We can take some hints from the Parashara system. Both Saturn and Jupiter are conjunct in Kritika Nakshatra, which is more of a management advisory type role. Probably relating to careers, finance management kind of. Moon is also for taking care of finance, real estate, that kind of thing. Moon plus Saturn, however, gives responsibility, structured discipline, work with the masses, sort of non-governmental organization type of career, service-oriented institutions. I would say more on management. This is a management chart, in my opinion, because the Kritika Nakshatra factor is there. Adds patience, long-term focus, although it can create emotional heaviness. This trio shows the strong ability to serve people through a mix of compassion, Moon, wisdom, Jupiter, and structure, Saturn. Speaking of Saturn, also, Sun, the soul Karaka, the soul path, is sitting in Capricorn. So it is a slow and steady progress through life. It will not be a rapid rise so much, since Saturn is conjunct the Madhya Karaka in the 7th and Sun is aspecting it in Capricorn, which is a sign of Saturn. And it is in 3rd house, which is a sign of slow and steady growth. Therefore, I would conclude from the natal, at least, that her rise to soul power, Sun, in her case Atma Karaka, in her professional line, which would be more like management and dealing with other people in terms of resources and money, finance management, that kind of a thing, will be slow and steady through life. It is not a rapid rise of any kind. Now let us get into Navamsha and see where the placements move, what they will aspect and what results they would bring. Then we'll move to conclusions. The D9 placement on your screen now shows very different arrangement, isn't it? I have highlighted Amartya Karaka Moon, which is now in 10th house and is aspected by all other dual signs. So it is aspected by 6, 9 and 12. And all are having planets in them, different planets. So let's go one by one. Her Navamsha becomes complex. So as she goes through 30 years plus, as the soul matures, there will be a different sort of energy playing out in terms of her career. First of all, the ascendant. Ascendant is Virgo. So this individual, Sophia, will go through a purification part. Her work will mainly involve in the direction of doing daily duties, maybe in terms of resolving conflicts, maybe in terms of resolving debts, maybe even a healer kind of thing. Virgo is a healing sign also, since it's in the sign of health and diseases. This person can also become a healer of some kind. But let's go one by one. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Moon in the 10th house in Gemini. Placement of Moon in Gemini in the 10th house. So first of all, if the Amartya Karaka itself goes in the 10th house in the Navamsha, it becomes a very dominant part of the career. It gives more concrete results, so to speak, you see. The 10th house is the strongest career position, ensuring ambition, authority and recognition. So people will look at her and think Moon. Think emotionally grounded person. Since it's Gemini, emotionally fluctuating person, always very moody. Gemini emphasizes communication, intellectual adaptability and networking. However, when Moon goes in Gemini, it becomes very moody, isn't it? Already with Moon, whenever you see Moon, it's fluctuations, it's mind, it's moodiness. Putting in career path, that becomes a little dicey. Career themes may involve teaching, media, writing, consulting, communication-based roles, I would put it more like emotional communication, advisory or administration. Now let's look at the three other Karakas. Venus is in Virgo in the first house, aspecting Moon. So Venus from ascendant in Virgo looks at the moon. Mercury from 4th house in Sagittarius looks at the same moon. So does Jupiter sitting in Pisces in the 7th house aspect that moon. These are Gemini Karakas. Okay, the rules have already been covered. Venus in Virgo in the 1st house refines public image, adds charm, creativity and aesthetic sense to career. So that makes it suitable for career in arts, creative arts, diplomacy, not so much. Venus in Virgo is quite critical. I would say more in terms of creative arts, not so much even in terms of counseling or refined service, because moon is in Punarvasu. Now I keep borrowing stuff from Parashara system just for refinement, okay? You might stick to just Gemini system if you like. Mercury in Sagittarius in the 4th house, however, enhances intellectual and educational roles. Okay. Also, everything mercurial, isn't it? It adds an intellectual dimension. Mercury in Sagittarius is quite debilitating because Mercury loves to talk and communicate. Sagittarius is a muted sign, so this person ends up becoming very silent, very introverted. So it becomes a person who gives rules and guidelines here, learning, advising or academic work, quiet academic work. Mercury is not very good in Sagittarius. Mercury loves to talk. Sagittarius mutes it anywhere in natal or Navamsha. Okay. Jupiter in Pisces, now the 7th house, strengthens partnership, diplomacy, teaching and services. First of all, Jupiter in Pisces is exalted. And it focuses on education more because Jupiter is a guy who gives guidelines. Now the Lord of the 4th is sitting in the 7th, if you want to see it that way. And both of those are aspecting the career Amartya Karaka moon in the 10th house. Therefore, you might say there is a strong inclination towards teaching in her career path. Alright? Another hint you might take is Saturn is sitting in the 5th house in Capricorn, in the house of education. See, that's another hint from Parashara system. Saturn is always considered the Karaka of work in the Parashara system, as you know. So the inclination combining the two systems is more towards teaching line, teaching based service. Moon gives the fluctuations, yes. But the career path here is more towards teaching, more towards guidance in relation to cultural arts, creativity, teaching fine arts. Take the Venus in ascendant in Virgo, that's dominant. And the Karaka of that, the Lord of the 1st house is sitting in the 4th house, Lord of the 4th is sitting in the 7th house. Isn't it? And the Lord of 11th is sitting in the 10th house. So all focus is geared towards teaching line. All focus is geared towards Venus combined with Moon and moving into creative teaching for the masses, for the people. So career matures into communication, teaching, advisory and leadership roles with strong institutional partnership-based focus. Recognition for her comes through intellect, networks and public service. Where is Sun here? Just for a minute. The Atma Karaka is sitting in the 11th house. Lord of the 11th house is sitting in the 10th house. So there is a strong inclination for recognition of the soul in the social networks, in the community, in the larger community. Even in social media, 11th house is the house of social media, and there is Sun conjunct Mars there, which is a very power-packed combination. But since it is sitting in Cancer, there is a little bit of element of fluctuation, isn't it? Now let's conclude and put together and see what comes up. So to conclude, for Sophia now, correlation between natal and Navamsha. Natal shows exalted moon. I put both the charts on your right side on the screen. Exalted moon, because it's sitting in its a good sign of Taurus, of wealth accumulation, gives a strong foundation for working with people in consulting, partnerships, public service. Jupiter plus Saturn balances wisdom with discipline and maturity, really speaking, like we discussed. Navamsha, however, Moon in 10th ensures ambition and recognition. Gemini adds a layer of communication and adaptability. Venus and Mercury and Jupiter reinforce creative, intellectual and advisory strengths. He's concluding, basically. Combined view, Sophia's career is deeply public-facing. Put both together. Moon as a Madhya Karaka in 7th in Natal, that's where it will manifest, and Moon in 10th house. So strongly outward directed. Beginning with partnerships and service, later maturing into leadership and advisory roles, where communication, teaching and wisdom bring recognition. Challenges. Moon's fluctuation. Whenever Moon becomes a Madhya Karaka, career is subject to fluctuations, ups and downs. And since Moon as Amartya Karaka is also in Gemini, any Amartya Karaka going into the dual signs 3, 6, 9 and 12 will have fluctuations by default. Saturn conjunctions delays results, gives burden of responsibility and emotional weight. Balancing personal needs with public partnerships may be difficult. Moon is supposed to be good in the 4th house, not sitting facing the public. So there's a element of absorbing negativity and fluctuations from the collective in her chart. This is on the side. Gemini and Navamsha Moon, scattered focus, needing discipline to stabilize, which that therefore comes through age. Success indicators. Exalted Moon in Taurus. That's very good. That indicates it's in the right place. The house of resources, house of food, house of wealth, house of speech. Speech will be good, therefore. Nurturing authority. Conjunction with Moon provides wisdom. Jupiter with Moon is some sort of a yoga. Wisdom and ethics bring success in counseling, teaching and advisory roles. Counseling and teaching could also be dominant for her. Remember this. Looking at both Natal and Navamsha, see, there's an aspect of Venus on the Moon, and there's a Moon is sitting conjunct Jupiter in Taurus in the Natal. So there's an aspect of good teacher or counselor roles for her. Conjunct with Saturn provides that slow and steady recognition. In 10th in Navamsha, strong career ambition, communication based roles, because there's Mercury, like I said. The Lord of the First is in the Fourth. The Lord of the Fourth is in the Seventh. So they are all linked together. First, Fourth and Seventh. And all are aspecting the Tenth. So consider all the planet and their significations and what they might blend for this child's career path. Alright? Likely professions would involve counseling, psychology, teaching and community service. Diplomacy, law or institutional leadership, I wouldn't think so much because you have to see the signs. Moon, as the Amartya Karaka, is in Taurus in the Natal and Gemini in the Navamsha. So there's no law there really. That requires more of Sagittarian energy. Media, writing, communication, advisory professions. Advisory, yes, there is a strong indicator of being advisory. Counseling and teaching is basically advisory role. Education, NGO work with large organizations, again, I don't see that because there is no aspect of 11th house in Navamsha being strong focus. Okay, that would be the likely career path. So to conclude, Sophia has Moon as a Madhya Karaka. So her professions will have a strong Moon energy. Always take the planet significations first. That she will bring to any career path that she chooses eventually. We have to start to analyze in this form. Since there are so many career options, we should start to see what the person brings to the table, what he or she is good at to begin with. Because you might need certain qualities at certain place and some not. Somebody who is required for marketing would require more Mars and Gemini, not so much Moon. So Sophia, for example, would be very poor in marketing. Mercury is in Sagittarius, muted sign. Marketing people require non-stop chatterboxes, isn't it? So you have to consider these generic aspects as you go along. Remember these as the rules. I'll see you in the next. If you find something more than what I have said or contradictory to what I have said, whichever way it is, we are learning here. Leave your comment. I'll see you in the next.